Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
I'm joined in the studio today by chocolate-covered pretzels. They're my favorite chocolate snack, and I've brought them with me today because right now, the world is in the grips of a cocoa crisis. The global supply of cocoa has plummeted, and prices are at an all-time high.
I mean, we're going to get in trouble. We see it coming.
Jacques Torres is a chocolatier based in New York. You might recognize him as a judge on the cheeky baking competition show Nailed It, where they nod to his bubbly and very French approach.
He's the judge that knows the fudge, Monsieur Jacques Torres.
He's the owner of Jacques Torres Chocolate, one of the pioneers of artisanal bean-to-bar chocolate. The company is still known best for one of the very first treats Torres served, hot chocolate. He got the flash of inspiration for the signature product when he tried a cup of American-style hot chocolate. It was nothing like what he grew up with in France.
I'm from the south of France, and when you want the hot chocolates there, they make hot chocolate starting from chocolate bar. They make the real thing.
Torres thought, I will introduce America to real hot chocolate, made with actual chocolate. No cocoa powder. People will love it.
Nobody wanted it. Adult was telling me. So I start to give it away every weekend. I don't know how many containers of hot chocolates, and I give it away. Until people start to say, you know what, it's actually good.
The hot chocolate caught on, and 25 years after the company's creation, Torres is still selling that super thick hot chocolate, along with everything from bonbons to chocolate bunnies to bars.
About 100 tons for this year, my guess.
How many bars is that?
It's over 10,000.
That's a lot of chocolate.
Chocolate that's getting more expensive to make by the day. And in order to survive, Torres is faced with some tough choices. Like, should he raise his prices?
But it's a risk because people might not buy it. You know, I mean, I don't know what solution we have.
Torres is in this situation because of events unfolding thousands of miles away, in the cocoa farms of West Africa, where dying crops and shrinking harvests have turned cocoa into an increasingly hot commodity. Bloomberg correspondent Mumbi Gatto has been following the story.
I was speaking to a chocolate maker a while back, and he said maybe instead of buying gold, people should be buying cocoa.
Today on the show, we've got a chocolate problem. Extreme weather and a deadly fungus have killed millions of cocoa plants, and now everyone from farmers to chocolate makers are scrambling to survive. In many ways, the very future of chocolate is at stake.
We have to pay the farmer, we have to give them support. Otherwise, the next generation of chefs will not have chocolates.
We track the cocoa crisis from the farms of Ghana to the chocolate factories of New York, on a journey from bean to bar to pretzel. This is The Big Take from Bloomberg News. I'm Sarah Holder. My bag of chocolate-covered pretzels cost $4.90, but pretty soon it could cost even more. Right now, cocoa is trading at an all-time high, more than $10,000 a ton. That's about $5 a pound. This time last year, it cost just over $1 a pound. This is all happening because of what's going on in West Africa, where most of the cocoa in the world is grown.
Precisely, we get 75% of our cocoa supply from just West Africa.
Mumbi Gatto has been covering the cocoa story for Bloomberg.
And the top producers in that region are Ivory Coast and Ghana, and their production has fallen quite a lot in the current season.
Just how low is that supply?
For what we have on record from Ivory Coast, production is expected to fall by 25%. 25% is a huge number.
And as supply has fallen, prices have soared. Cocoa prices have more than doubled in just the last few months.
like a rocket launch. Like, it's just been a vertical rise in the prices.
Cocoa is a hard plant to cultivate. It's fussy and only grows in a handful of places in the world. The plants take years to produce cocoa pods, and when they do reach maturity, they're prone to disease. But over the last few years, growing cocoa has gotten even harder as extreme weather events have hammered West Africa.
Not a very good combination for cocoa, moving from an extreme of heavy rains to an extreme of dryness. We've also had diseases like swollen shoot that infects a plant.
You mentioned that disease that's been killing off a lot of cocoa plants, swollen shoot. Can you say more about what that disease does and why it's so destructive?
If you've seen a cocoa tree, it produces pods that are the size of a rugby ball, and it's shaped in an oval shape. So when a tree is infected, those pods start to fall. The tree starts to turn black and gray, and it doesn't produce anymore. And the problem with swollen shoot is that once one tree is infected, it starts to infect the rest of the trees in that plantation. So it starts to spread in just not one farmer's plantation, but the next farmer could have the same issue, and the next farmer will have the same issue. And the only way to eradicate it is by uprooting trees.
Uprooting trees. That also means planting new ones. New ones which could take up to 5 years to start bearing pods. In the meantime, the harvest out of countries like the Ivory Coast and Ghana have gotten smaller and smaller.
Ghana harvest started dropping, and we are headed for a 20-year low.
Eko Dunto covers cocoa for Bloomberg out of Accra, Ghana. He says the cocoa farmers he's spoken with are really struggling.
They say, Charlie, I've lost hope. Look at the trees. I've invested everything. I spent my money getting laborers and put the whole thing in place. But here you are, the rains will not fall. Then you watch everything wither away, and you are helpless.
You might think the soaring price of cocoa would be benefiting farmers. Even if they're producing less, their cocoa is worth a lot more. But that isn't happening. In Ghana and the Ivory Coast, the government dictates the price of cocoa. Farmers get a fixed amount for their beans. So even as cocoa prices soar, the farmers aren't the ones making that extra money.
Farmers have been earning the same amount they've been earning for such a long time. And you can imagine the cost of living crisis that we've seen, the inflation that we've seen in the last couple of years. Yet farmers have been earning the same. That means they've not been able to invest back into the farms. They've not been able to afford fertilizers, chemicals, everything that is needed to make sure that a tree continues producing as much as it can produce. So some have resulted in abandoning their farms. Some have gone into other crops that they think are more profitable.
Others have sold off their land to speculators who are hunting for gold deposits beneath the cocoa trees. Ghana reporter Eko Dunto spoke with Francis Giabeng about his situation. Giabeng is a farmer. He's 64, has 8 children. He owns a cocoa farm in southwestern Ghana. He spoke with Eko by phone. He's telling Eko that the crop disease was intense and this year's drought was long with the scorching sun. He says he's seeing no benefit from high cocoa prices, and his cocoa pods are withered and dead. Eko has spoken with many farmers and says when it comes to cocoa, things might get worse before they get better.
Future of cocoa is bleak in this country. I expect that in the next 5 years, we'll be operating at just about maybe 500,000 tons for some time until all those disease farms are rehabilitated.
When we come back, how the cocoa shortage is flowing from the farms of Ghana up the supply chain to chocolate makers.
The shortage is really real.
Oh, no, this is real. I mean, we're going to get in trouble.
That's after the break.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.
We're back. We've been talking about the global cocoa crisis and its origin in the cocoa farms of Western Africa. Now, these issues are flowing up the cocoa supply chain to places like this.
So, you come with me, you go through the door, you guys can go to the shoe cleaner.
Okay.
I'll show you that.
Okay. Oh, it smells amazing.
This is Jacques Torres's chocolate factory in Brooklyn, New York. It is vast. Torres zips around on a scooter from the bonbon decorating room to the chocolate sculpting room to the chocolate cookie room. And connecting them all, a network of white pipes running along the ceiling.
We have a 40,000 square feet chocolate manufacturer that are going to show you around.
And what are we hearing right now?
So there is a lot of different pumps going on and pushing the chocolates. The problem with the chocolates in those pipes, and you see the pipes on the ceiling, and all those pipes have chocolate running through them.
Pipes full of chocolate? I know what you're thinking.
Where's the chocolate river?
Where is the chocolate river?
That would be the chocolate river from the classic film Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Willy Wonka is completely fake. I am the real thing.
But working in chocolate isn't as sweet as it used to be. Cocoa prices are on Torres's mind all the time.
I'm tired of it. I don't want the business side anymore. I want to do what I love to do, to make chocolate, to eat chocolate, to drink hot chocolate. I'm not about the money. I'm more of a craftsman.
But with cocoa costs more than double what they were just a few months ago, there's no ignoring the money part.
How often are you checking this price?
Every day.
First thing when you wake up?
Yes, I have an alert on my computer and I check prices.
Torres doesn't even get most of his cocoa from West Africa, but the cocoa shortage there has created global supply chain issues and spiked the price of cocoa everywhere. That means cocoa prices are seeping into Torres's world of pure imagination in a big way. He might have to pay four times what he paid for cocoa last year, but he can't quadruple the price of his chocolates. Customers are sensitive, even to small price hikes.
Instant. We lose customer right away. And it's interesting. Sometimes I'm thinking, you know what? We're going to rate to put another 25 cents there. You know, nobody going to see the difference. People know the price of things. So it's dangerous to go a little bit too high in price or too fast because then you lose customer.
All of this makes the Wonka business pretty tough. Producers like Torres tend to have a reserve of cocoa, so higher prices don't affect them immediately. But Torres says by the end of the year, the math is going to get really hard. About a quarter of the cost of Torres's chocolate bars come from cocoa. And if he can't pass those rising costs on to the consumers, he has to start taking a look at the product itself.
Would you ever change your chocolate recipe?
No. The only way to change the recipe is to put less quality cacao beans or put more sugar. So more sugar, I will not. I can't. I mean, it's not who we are. It's not how we develop the company. It's not how do we develop our name. So no, I will not change that. That's too important. Cannot touch that.
Some of the big chocolate makers are already changing their recipes, putting a little less chocolate in their chocolate, or making their product smaller, shrinkflation. But that won't work for a smaller scale producer like Torres. He says his customers would notice, but also the molds themselves are expensive, and buying all new ones would be a major cost for him. That leaves one last option, filling the chocolates with more extra stuff.
If you do a chocolate bar with almonds, then one third of the chocolate is going to be removed to put the almonds. So one of the solutions that we are looking at is, okay, what is less expensive than cacao at $10,000 ton? So if almonds become less expensive than cacao, we're going to put a little bit more almonds, a little bit less chocolates. So people or customer will get the same chocolate bar, the same weight, no shrinkage. So that's maybe a solution for us.
Torres and his team are experimenting with adding more nuts and fruits to their chocolate bars. They're also thinking up new products. Price spikes and shortages are nothing new for chocolatiers. Torres says during World War II, Italian chocolate makers couldn't get their hands on much cocoa, so they started to adapt.
So what the Italian did, they come up with this recipe. Gianduja.
Cocoa might have been hard to come by for the Italians, but there were lots and lots of hazelnut trees.
So what do? They use the hazelnuts that they have in Piedmont, and they mix it with chocolates, and they make a bonbon with it.
The hazelnut chocolates became hugely popular, as did another product created out of that moment, Nutella.
So those products was born.
So we may get a new Nutella because of
maybe,
these.
Maybe we will look at it.
And he's hoping to bring some of that old school innovation to this moment to help him adapt to soaring cocoa prices. Right now, nothing is off the table, not even his beloved hot chocolate, the product that started it all. He brews me a cup. It's made of crushed up chocolate. It's been his signature product for 25 years. We use real chocolate, it says on the tin, never cocoa powder. But that famous cocoa might have to change. Already, a 14-ounce container costs about $25. Charging more could be tricky. So instead, Torres might have to rethink the mix.
If I have to, I will replace 20% of the powder, maybe with a mixture of cacao and sugar, to not lose the flavor, but helping us with the price. I don't know what I'm going to do. Or do I just tell customers it's just more expensive? Yeah. But it's a risk because people might not buy it. You know, I mean, I don't know what solution we have.
Does it make you sad that you might have to change the ratios?
No, look, in life, you do what you have to do. So I don't going to put something on the market that's not good. If I don't like it, I don't make it. I am very stubborn about it.
In the meantime, Torres is doing everything he can to try and avoid making some of the more painful changes. He's been making deals with cocoa farmers to try and lock down future supply.
We're also waiting. I don't want to change everything because it may be on the way down.
Torres is still holding out hope that somehow prices will go down and he'll be able to keep his signature drink just as it is. Pure melted chocolate.
Very hot, okay, so be careful.
That's thick.
This is The Big Take from Bloomberg News. I'm Sarah Holder. This episode was produced by Julia Press, Jessica Beck, and Alex Sugiura. It was edited by Stacey Vanek-Smith and Jeff Sutherland. It was mixed by Ben O'Brien. It was fact-checked by Adriana Tapia. Our senior producer is Naomi Shaven. Our senior editor is Elizabeth Ponso. Nicole Beemsterboer is our executive producer. Sage Bauman is our head of podcasts. Thanks for listening. Please follow and review The Big Take wherever you listen to podcasts. It helps new listeners find the show. We'll be back tomorrow.
Join us in Chicago or virtually on May 2nd for Bloomberg's Business Value of AI event and networking reception. This event will gather business and technology executives to share their experiences and provide insights into their strategies for deploying AI that achieves a desirable ROI. You'll also learn how companies have successfully implemented AI solutions that have improved productivity and profitability. This program is proudly sponsored by IBM. Register at BloombergLive.com/AI/radio.